The baseball note, it's more of a TV note, but it does pertain to the Mets and Yankees. Apparently, the Subway Series games for the 4th of July weekend averaged 356,000 viewers on SNY, which is 70% more than what the YES Network drew for the series. Remember, that was a series with no national games.
Mm-hmm.
YES had all three broadcasts. SNY had all three broadcasts.
Not a Sunday night game. I thought, you know, like a month ago, I thought it was going to be a Sunday night game.
Oh, right.
And I think that was the Tigers that Scooble pitched that night.
Maybe because it was the holiday weekend. They chose not to. But whatever it may be. So it was on SNY or YES.
Mm-hmm.
70% more for YES. For SNY. SNY was 154% better among adults 25 to 54, the key demo, and 166% better in adults 18 to 34. Now, we don't usually get into the ratings thing.
I don't think we ever do.
No, right, exactly. But
Mike and Chris did.
But that is odd that SNY would draw 70% more than YES with all things being equal, both networks having all three games for the Subway Series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that telling with the fan base? I don't know. That has to mean something where, you know, the Yankees have a larger fan base.
Yeah.
It's always been that way.
Uh-huh.
Is that a telling number of how maybe things are shifting a little bit? I don't understand that math.
I don't think you'd see the shift right away. I mean, for the shift to occur, if it ever does occur, it's going to be, first of all, you got to win a championship. And that's, like, we talk about, you know, last year's Mets attendance was not good. And Steve Cohen, you know, relative to what you'd expect for a team that almost got to the World Series. And Cohen talked about
the year later.
It's always a year later. So, no, I don't think it's some crazy, although I do think
70% more, though, it just doesn't make sense.
I'd like to know.
Better broadcasters? Like, honestly, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to know how many homes in the metro, you know, New York, New Jersey area have SNY versus how many have access to YES. I don't know the answer. If YES has a lot more a couple of hundred thousand less, that's one. I don't know.
Maybe there is something odd to it. I really don't know. But wouldn't you think, on the surface, without knowing too much of the detail, that Mets fans would watch SNY, Yankee fans would watch YES?
I watch both. I've told you that before.
For Subway Series?
Yeah. Now, I go back and forth, and I think I'm very rare. Like, I know you, as a Mets guy, even though, whatever, you're objective, but a Mets guy, you don't do that.
No, I'd rather watch. What do you think the majority?
C-Mac, I don't think, pops on SNY. I don't think Keith does. I don't know why I do that. I like to hear other broadcast teams talk about my team.
Well, you might
find that interesting.
You might be the outlier
here. I think I am, for sure.
Okay, so the majority of people, wouldn't you say, Yankee fans watch YES,
Mets
fans watch SNY. I'm talking about even head-to-head. In a head-to-head game, if you could, whether it's listening to the Mets Odyssey Radio, Yankees here on the fan. If you're a Yankee fan, I would think you'd listen to the Yankee broadcast. Mets, you listen to the Mets. If you're a Mets fan, you watch the Mets broadcast. Yankee fan, you watch. I would think that the majority of people
No question. I'm unique with that.
And then the second would be, don't you think that there at least were? There are more Yankee fans.
There's no question.
Okay, so then how does that math add up?
It doesn't.
To where it's 70% larger audience for SNY.
I'd like to know what, now, without Soto last year, that would impact. Well, no, Mets fans are still watching. I'd like to know last year's numbers.
Me too.
I'd be very curious about that. No, you know, listen, I mean, I don't know if I can't prove this. Maybe there's just a lot more affluent Yankee fans out there that were in the Hamptons and hitting those second homes.
Without a TV? BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Peter is in Wanacue. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Before I get to my point, I live in Wanacue, New Jersey, so I face bears every so often. I woke up one night watching a bear steal my garbage. It was funny.
It sounds hysterical.
Yeah, it doesn't sound funny to me.
It was funny from the window.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
But I was actually calling, point out a big difference between the big bag Yankees with Steinbrenner and the current Yankee atmosphere with Hal. When in the 70s, 80s, George had enough money to buy anything he wanted. He was really more about winning, where a lot of owners, for example, the Mets, the Wilpons, they'd rather line their pockets with $50 million than spend it and have a competitive team. Now, fast forward to today's market. They're dealing against King Cohen, the owners of Toronto, the conglomerate team of Los Angeles, who can outbid him. So it's no longer like, hey, we want this player. We're going to go get him. We got enough money.
We're aware of that. Absolutely. It's changed a little bit.
So they're having an issue just trying to get players to come on board. It's not as easy as it used to be. I wanted to get your opinion on what you think the Yankees can do to go back to that.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Big bet Yankees team where they can basically, obviously they need a third baseman, you know.
Yeah.
How are they going to get it?
Well, first of all, I would say the way you describe the big bad Yankees, I think that that's gone forever. So I think the financial climate has changed and it's closed where, you know, the advantage and the ability and the willingness to spend much more than everybody else, that's gone. But the Yankees don't have the highest payroll. They don't have number two. They got number three. It's like they're pinching pennies all of a sudden. So I would not use that description. My answer is draft and develop better and then accent the roster. And that's really what they used to do. Like when you look at the...
They could spend it better, though.
I agree with that. But the reason I think some of the spending has gotten all out of whack and they're chasing their own tail and DFA this guy and finally did that and yelling for years, get rid of that guy, is because they've made so many mistakes with player development that they have to buy other players and try to plug them in unnatural spots.
I think, though, to his point, when he said the big bad Yankees, it meant spending, you know, $50 million more than the next guy. That was the way it was for a very, very, very long time. And now, not only do the Yankees, you know, not spend $50 million more than the next guy, they don't even spend more than anybody.
Yep.
So that, I think, those days are gone. To your point, BT, with the way the landscape is financially with the sport, where the Dodgers are going to be big-time spenders, the Mets, obviously, with Steve Cohen are going to be big-time spenders. You have other teams that are willing to spend a lot where it used to just be the Yankees would go so far above and beyond
no doubt.
Everybody else.
Catfish, Reggie. Actually,
you know what it really did do is make the Wilpon-led Mets look bad because they used to spend a lot, too.
People think they were like 27th, not even close payroll.
They were second or third almost every year.
A couple years, seventh or eighth, but never terrible.
Pre-Bernie Madoff especially. But But pre-Madoff, like the Mets were...
I know, top 10 always.
Okay, but seemingly. But because they were second or third and the Yankees were so far out in front, let's just say $50 million,
yep,
it made it seem like you weren't even in the ballpark, but it was still way more than everybody else. That gap, I do believe, is closed forever, unless the Yankees just, you know, luxury tax threshold is a part of this as well.
No, it's closed forever. Yeah. I think it's closed between the Dodgers and, listen, there's a couple things why it's changed forever. Number one, Cohen's existence has changed that. I think to not acknowledge that is ridiculous. You're just a fool. I mean, Cohen's changed the financial climate here, all right? And the Dodgers and their willingness and their ability to create unique ways of spending money, meaning deferring, yep, even though I think Ohtani's reps actually were the ones who came up with the deferral payment. But now they're kind of cutting edge. Now, it doesn't mean the Yankees can't catch up. It doesn't mean the Mets don't start deferring money as well. But it's just changed a little bit. Let's just do something, because sometimes we say something, and yeah, I don't know the answer. I haven't done this yet. We say something, and it may or may not be true, but we assert it with such confidence that we make it true, even if it's not fully true. Pick a year, but not 96, because that was the beginning. Pick a year during the Yankee dynasty,
mm-hmm,
any year, and I want to actually look at the payrolls from that year.
2000.
All right, 2000 MLB payrolls. Okay. Let's see. That was a good year, by the way. 2000 was awesome.
Yeah.
I like 2000. All right, so the Yankees, see, interesting. Now, the Yankees spent $92 million that year. The Dodgers spent 90. Now you got a little bit of a sizable gap. The Orioles spent 83. The Braves spent 82. The Red Sox 81. The Mets 79. And then a couple of teams, and even the then Indians 79, right, so 77. So the point is, that year does not back up the assertion that the Yankees outspend everybody by $50
million. What about 2009?
I'm going to go check. Now that's year they paid $250 million. Well. I'm just stalling, Sal.
They had after missing the playoffs, the rare time they missed the playoffs in the final year at Yankee Stadium, they would get Teixeira, Sabathia, Burnett.
Correct. All right, this one had to be, I'm going to guess, a pretty sizable disparity, and it was. This is the $50 million year. So the Yankees spent $201, the Mets had $149, the Cubs $134. Where the heck were the Dodgers? Dodgers were really lower by their standards. The Yankees, 50-plus million.
Now, is it a coincidence? Because I remember looking it up, which is why I came up
with it. Yeah, I knew there was one. I just wasn't sure.
Right, okay. Now, is it a coincidence that that's the last time they won the World Series, when they spent $50 million more than the next team?
Is it a coincidence? I would say no, because some of their core staple developed forehands and Hall of Famers were still vital parts of that team.
Yeah,
they didn't buy the whole team.
They bought a lot of it, and it was $50 million more than the next. When you spend that much more, you should win. Now, money obviously doesn't always equate to winning championships. We know that firsthand here in New York, whether it's the Yankees or the Mets, certainly in recent years. But the fact
or the Knicks, but Isaiah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in baseball without the salary cap, whatever, all that stuff. So money does not equate to winning championships, but the last time the Yankees won, they spent $50 million more than the next team. And now I would bet since 2009, it has clearly started to slowly but surely the gap has closed to a point where the Yankees were surpassed. Like, what do you think is the first year the Yankees didn't have the highest payroll?
I'm just going to type in, let's go back 10 years, let's go to 2015. Just out of curiosity, because I think you're probably right in the neighborhood on that.
I would say within the last five for sure. I remember Boone saying it one year, hey, guys, teams have closed the gap on us.
Yeah.
And that's, I believe, what he meant. Like, instead of them spending more, go ahead.
I got something for you. So this was 10 years ago. Let's see. The Dodgers spent $230 million.
2015?
This is 2015. Okay. The Mets are in the World Series that year, as you obviously know. The Yankees were $17 million less. That was 213. But check this out. This is revealing. So you got Dodgers 230, Yankees 213. Number three, the Nationals 174. I mean, that's from 230 to 174, talking 45, yeah. $50-ish million,
right,
like the gap that the Yankees enjoyed in 2000. Where were the Mets that year? The Mets that year were, wow. All right, so we're talking, obviously, Bernie Madoff. The Mets were $100 million, so
$130
million lower than the Dodgers.
The Mets were, in 2015, close to what they were in 2000.
Yes.
15 years later, with obviously the increase in, you know, the way money works, the finances go up, and the Mets had basically spent, dude, those years were such lean years.
Ugh.
When Alderson had to come in and clean up the Madoff stuff. That's what made it look worse. But before that, the Mets used to spend a lot. Dom is in Westport, Connecticut. What's up, Dom?
Hey, couple of things. First of all, BT hit it right on the, you know, right on the head there. The Yankee fans, we have a life. Mets fans, you know, tend to be more blue collar guys, just like the Jets. I mean, look at the Jets. Fireman Ed is sort of like your main big, you know, fan. And I think one of the other things.
Hold on, Dom. By the way, Dom, I was saying that tongue in cheek. I don't know the financial portfolios for every Yankee and Met fan. I've got a joke in.
No. I think there's some truth to that.
When you look at,
you know, sort of the fan base.
Absolutely not. Are you out of your mind?
That's tough to say.
How are you gonna judge that? And by the way, that would equate to the SNY having 70% better ratings than the Yankees.
Because everybody's on their yacht.
Come on,
Dom.
But I was kind of joking too. But no, BC made a great point in tongue in cheek. But I will say this, just from a statistical point, I don't know. Do you guys, and you guys are in the industry, I use Gotham Sports, which is, you know, connected to so it's a mobile app. Does that count in the viewership, or are you just looking at people through the table?
Don't know.
And SNY.
That's another good question.
I don't know. I'm just going based off of a tweet that I saw from a reputable source, and thank you for the call. I use the Gotham app at times. I had it for the Knicks and Rangers last year. I hate it.
I remember you saying that.
I gotta be honest.
I can never watch a game that way.
They got to upgrade the app.
I've heard.
Any app today, like, how could you not go on and go back and watch something? And with that app, if I got home at 7:40 and the tip was at 7:20 or 7:10.
You missed 25 minutes, you're out.
Like, you got to be able to record it, and I can go back and watch it anytime I want.
Well, even if you can't record it, which is optimal, but like last night we got in and I was a little bit late to the Yankee game, and it's on Prime, obviously, and if you watch Prime, you have the option go live or go to the beginning.
Right. That's the point.
You need that.
MLB app has that, which I love.
Yeah.
It was Jimmy Traina who retweeted this guy, Austin Karp. Austin Karp is a longtime SBJ editor, writer. He does the TV stuff and all that, Sports Business Journal. And Jimmy Traina, who's reputable in that, this is what they do for Sports Illustrated, you know, the media guy. That's where he said it. The Mets and Yankees rivalry getting hotter. Three Subway Series games from July 4th to July 6th averaged 356,000 viewers on SNY, which is 70% more than what Yes drew for the series. Maybe it's just a holiday. I have no idea, but I just find it odd that SNY had that big, 70% more than what Yes had, where we know there are more Yankee fans in town, and each network had the entire series on their network.
I think the best barometer, though, is asses and seats, and that's always advantage Yankees till it's not. I mean, we can, because I don't know digital, I don't know apps, I don't know. I know that while the Met attendance has ticked up, I mean, the Yankees, 35, 40,000 every single night with their eyes shut. To me, that's the barometer.
Right, but they've built in for a while. What are the Mets' attendance this year? Do we have any
idea? It's been good.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
It's been great this
every
year.
Every night, it feels like, I don't know if it is. It's up there, but it feels like it.
It is. I see a lot of nights. I check this, 34, 35,000. I'll actually get it for you guys.
And think about the uptick from where it was. And by the way, I don't even, like, it was not trying to make it a Met or Yankee thing, like, oh, the Mets are better because they get more viewers. No, I'm just legit curious to why it would be 70% more. And you could feel the attendance changing with the Mets. The Yankees are not going to go anywhere. Like, once you build it up, you got to maintain it. They've been able to do that with their star power and with their success. Mets are getting to that level, and I would expect them to maintain it moving forward. What is it? You have the
attendance? I got it all. I'm going to give you the top five.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, number one, Dodgers. Now, they just have a bigger stadium as well, as we know.
Okay.
So
do they hold? Do you know?
Well, I think they hold 57 or 58.
What's the new Yankee Stadium hold?
40. Is it 48?
That's what city is.
Is it 40? And then maybe Yankees 50?
Shea used to be more.
And the old Yankees used to be 57 as well. All right, so the Dodgers average 50,000. I'm just going to round up. The Yankees are number two at 42,000. Barely ahead of San Diego at 42,000. Philly's number four at 41,000. The Mets are at 38.
Wow.
The Mets are at 38. I'm going to give you last year.
Yes.
So last year, the Mets, who are currently five at 38, the Mets were 17th. I remember Cohen, you actually saying 17th at 29.
I mean, that's a big difference.
9,000 more people tonight. There's no doubt about it.
Well, from 17th to 5th.
But I look at the more bodies again, and you're up plus 9,000, which, so again, think about this, Sal. I don't have a calculator, but let's say it holds up for the every single night this year, the Mets averaged 9,000 more people per game than they did last year. Well, now it's easier to justify the contract to Juan Soto.
Correct.
Because you do 81 home games times 9,000. What is that, 7.2 mil? I don't know. I'm doing this fast. And then the concessions and this and then merchandise and everything else. And now all of a sudden, it's a revenue stream that the Mets did not have before Juan Soto got there.
Yeah, and they haven't even started winning yet. I mean, I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about...
I hear you.
I mean, if
you build it...
Correct. They will come.
But you still got to win.
Yeah, well, right.
Still got to win.
And the Yankees are still living off of the dynasty years in the 90s. They built it up to that. It never went back. Changing the stadium, whatever, having some lean years. And for them, like, lean years is, you know, maybe being out in the wild card round or
for sure.
A few years missing the postseason. But once they built it with that dynasty, I'd love to, like, when do you think the Yankees attendance changed? 96? 95?
No, 96. 96 was not great. And that goes back to what we said about the Mets last year.
So the next year.
It was after that.
So 97, 98, once you started getting into that territory.
Correct.
98, 99, forget it.
For sure.
And I don't think that they've ever looked back. So that's what the Mets have to hope to be able to build moving forward.
Yeah, because what happened here, Sal, and, you know, you've got to be old enough to remember this, and we've talked about this, just flip on the Don Mattingly Yankeeography. You know, even though Donnie stopped hitting home runs, but the ones that he did hit to right field, MVP. Nobody was there to catch him.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, the Kevin Moss, the Steve Farr, those days, you know, the Steve Sachs days, the Pat Kelly days. We know the days, the Barfield days. And there was a point where it just wasn't fun. It wasn't cool. It wasn't important. It was a waste of time, really, to go to a Yankee game.
Yanks looking for the sweep of the Mariners tonight. Stroman on the mound. Take it on Wu, who's been a terrific rookie. We'll see if the Yanks bats can keep it going. Bruce is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Bruce.
Just calling up about DJ, but that thing with the alligator, it might have little arms, so they got two big, large legs, so that's why they're fast.
Mm-hmm. How fast do they move? They got up to about 20, right?
I heard they go like about 20, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what
maybe
I heard,
30.
Too.
And
how
fast can humans run? Like, the fastest humans?
Well, we're about 5 miles an hour less than them, so we're done.
Well, you see, that's true. I mean, we're dead and we're in their bellies. But you see, sometimes they'll do this, like Tyreek Hill or even Saquon, like a top speed in the NFL. Yeah. Those guys, the top speed generally.
I think I heard something about 40. Didn't I see, like, one of the football players, like 40 miles an hour?
20? No, not 40. No, not even close. 22, 23 miles an hour, something like that.
So the alligator would get us.
Unbelievable.
But you could, you might be able to fight it off. You don't, if it gets to you, what is it going to eat first? Like, go for your leg?
What it's going
to
do
is what they usually do is they drag you and they spin you around and they drown you. They want to drown you.
He's right.
And then they eat you later on.
That's what they do.
Well, but if you're running and you're on land, where are they going to drown you?
Well,
they're just going to smash you against the ground.
Bruce, I want to ask BT about this. Yeah,
Bruce is good. Bruce knows the stuff.
Yeah. Now you're cutting us off, Alf?
Yeah, I am, because I got some good news here for you.
Let's go.
So you're right. They travel 35 miles per hour. But because of their short legs and short bursts,
they get tired.
They tire easy. Aww. So we should be able to outpace them.
Yeah, if we're in good shape, which at this point, none of us are.
Yeah, and we're talking about, like, we run 20 miles an hour. We do not. Like,
no, Saquon runs 22 and a half miles an hour.
But if, all right, so if an alligator got to you, though.
Yep.
And there were no water, we're on land.
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of way where we could fight them off. I know you're saying, like, their jaw is so strong.
Oh,
like,
God.
I'm less scared of an alligator because I feel like, now, believe me, I wouldn't want to mess with one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I have a better chance to survive against an alligator than I do against a bear.
I would agree with that, because the one thing the alligator wouldn't do, not that you're Tarzan, but, like, if you were able to find the tree and just kind of get up a little
bit. It's not climbing there.
It's not climbing up there like a bear who's flying up like
What if I jumped on, like, a chair or something? Or, like, a bench?
As a matter of fact, alligators actually can jump. Ironically.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was watching this video, I think yesterday I saw it on. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm into this stuff. Gio brought this up. I was talking about this, and they played some of the audio in the morning show a while back. I could watch this stuff all day, fishing, hunting, anything with the outdoors. And I saw, I would imagine they could. I don't know if they can jump quite as high from the ground, but an alligator's ability to create like a projectile velocity from the water, they could jump up like 10 feet. So you better have a big chair.
I don't know. Which one would you rather take on?
I'd rather take my chance with an alligator. Yeah, I think
I would. Is there an intimidation tactic you could use for an alligator?
I don't know.
So what are you supposed to do if you see an alligator? You gave us the playbook for the bear.
Yep.
If you see an alligator, I'm assuming the playbook is also not to run.
It's a great question. That one I honestly don't know. Just find the biggest stick and stick it in its mouth.
Yeah,
like the one with Han Solo with Luke. And remember when Luke was getting chased? And that was the Empire, right? With Jabba, and they threw Luke down in the chamber, and like that big thing was getting ready to kill him.
Yeah.
And he threw the rock at the button that closed the door, he put the big piece of wood in his mouth.
Right.
Maybe that's what you got to do for the alligator.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, I'd like to not mess around with this stuff. Josh is calling from Union, New Jersey. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
So about this SNY, and yes, I think since the Mets were playing at home, most people who are watching on websites and stuff, it only does SNY. I'm thinking that maybe when the Yankees were playing the Mets, maybe Yes actually had more viewers than SNY.
Well, what website are we talking about?
I don't know exactly what
website. Well, because the reason I ask that is because if you watch on MLB.com, I guess that you'd have to be out of town. You have the choice of either broadcast.
Oh, is that true?
Right. Yeah,
so I don't watch it that way. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know which broadcast or which website you were referring to that only would give you the home feed. I honestly don't know. I'm not saying that there is one thing or another that would lead up to it. I just find it odd that it would be that high. You have anything else, Josh?
Well, I'm thinking probably not MLB.com. I mean, there's a bunch of websites, meaning not so like legal, meaning they can get these streams for free.
But they don't count.
No, they don't count. They don't register.
And thanks for the call.
I know some of those.
Yeah, they wouldn't register.
Nope.
As far as the ratings are concerned. That is an odd one. I'll ask Jimmy to see if he can maybe look more into it.
I was going to find out what the numbers were for the previous series. I'm curious, because it wasn't 4th of July.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to ask. I'll see if I could get him on that research. I wouldn't know where to begin. Nick is calling from South Carolina. Here. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Nick. What's up?
Well, I wanted to make a few quick points. First of all, I wanted to, as far as the bears go, if you get a bear in your backyard, because I grew up near Hyde Park, BT, you know, I was about maybe 10 miles from Hyde Park in a little town called Stanfordville.
Okay.
If you got a bear comes in your backyard, best thing to do is take a big pot, take a big wooden spoon or something, go out
and
there
cook them up
bang
some pasta.
The hell out.
That's what Carmelo did, right? Isn't
yes.
that what Carmelo did?
Yes.
Go outside
and
with the
that's exactly what you got to do. And he will take off running.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in the woods, I hunted a few years. If you're in the woods and you come across a bear, then you got to follow that protocol they told you and just hope and pray that you can get the hell away because.
If you're all due respect, Nick, and to all the hunters out there, if you're hunting in the woods, you're on your, like, you better be prepared.
I'm not
looking to hunt. I just don't want to be hunted by the bear.
No.
I'm looking
Understood.
For self-defense. You're out there aggressively looking to do some damage to something.
Yeah.
You better, I'm assuming you know better going in.
Yeah, they know.
Oh,
they know the rules.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I never ran into a bear in the woods, but I did have one come. I had a small little horse farm up there, and I did have one come onto the horse farm, and I just went out there with a big pot and a wooden spoon, and bang, 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 and he took off like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Why didn't you pop him? I mean, did you have the license to pop him? Honestly.
I could have, I could have, but, you know, at the moment in the time, you know, you'd have to go into the house, go into the locker, get it out, you know, so it just, you know, this was quick, easy, and he took off. And we never saw him.
They're beautiful, and I'm not looking at unnecessarily. Like, I've never hunted. I love to fish. I've never hunted. I've told you that. Part of me would love to just try it once. Not even really shoot anything, but just get up, you know, 3-4 in the morning, you know, in the fall. We're talking about the fall yesterday with football season, how the weather changes, and a little camouflage, maybe a little Irish coffee, nice tree stand, some nice part of, you know, the Adirondacks or something. Like, I don't know why that just feels appealing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A little log cabin.
I mean, a lot of people who go hunt. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do that more so than a tent at this point. Because everything we're talking about, I'll never stay in a tent again.
No chance.
Have you ever camped overnight in a tent?
No.
You haven't?
God, no.
Half of you? You strike me as an outdoorsman.
Back in the day when I was a kid, but my wife really wants to go camping now, and I'm like, yeah, sure, set it up.
No. Set it up for her. She can go by herself.
Camping?
Go get us some dinner.
Sleep in a tent on the floor? I've done it a few times.
I did it pretty. I did it
as an adult or as a kid.
I did it 3 weeks before I got married. It was something I hadn't done in a while, and I told my best friend Dan, who had everything—the tent, I mean, the barbecue. Yeah. I said, "I want to go." It was after my bachelor party, so that was already taken care of.
Any bugs and anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's bugs. It's called nature.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
There's dirt. There's wood.
I like a house or a hotel with a bed. I mean,
there's something to be said, though. I know it's either appealing or it's not, but to be connected. You know, especially like, I don't know, like you have to wake up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, whatever. Like it's just the sounds. Now it's a little scary, and I wouldn't wander too far from the tent, but it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed to like experiencing what you're saying, the hunting thought of like just being out in the wilderness during the day in the cold or whatever. But I'd rather sit on the porch and like just look at the trees. And drink as opposed to actually go hunting. Or I'd rather walk into the log cabin or the house and sleep in the bed at night. Yeah. I mean, I'll sleep in a sleeping bag on the floor in a house, not outside with the yucky bugs and stuff.
Yeah, it's so yucky.
Come on,
there's a lot. There's snakes too. Oh, let's not even get into the snake aspect here.
That is a
snakes. That's high on the list of fear for me.
Non-starter, man. I wouldn't want to mess with that. One of my biggest fears in life: snakes in the toilet. You've seen that?
I always check. I still check.
Clearly, they need to make some moves for me. And I know they're not going to do this because we were told that they don't like. Or whatever, not that they don't like, but they're not interested in Nolan Arenado. But that would be the guy that I would look to go out there and get. I want a little bit of balance at third base. And it seems appealing to go after Suarez, who's lighting the league up with all the home runs. It seems appealing about McMahon, who could play great defense and also have a little bit of pop. I don't want the strikeouts in the lineup. Yankees don't need the pop. They have plenty of pop up and down that lineup. They need a solid big league ball player. That's what Arenado is. He could play defense and put the bat on the ball. Forget about even just the average. I just want the ball in play. That's why I'm okay with Peraza. I know Peraza can't hit at the major league level.
Yeah.
So I'll take a little bit less defensively, or if you could get Arenado, still you're doing well. I know McMahon good defensively, but he's a strikeout machine.
Strikes out a ton. We hit that yesterday.
Yeah, I don't want that. So I still, while I'm happy with the moves the Yankees have made, and while it is refreshing, I still don't trust that Brian Cashman is going to go out there and make the proper move necessary, where I think he's too much into the launch angle, the all-or-nothing type player.
I don't think that's fair to Cash, and I've been a critic of Brian Cashman, as everybody knows. But Brian Cashman, you know, last year delivered Jazz Chisholm.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's also a high strikeout guy. Or I know he hasn't been as of late.
Yeah, but. For sure. But I think that the trade deadline acumen and resume of Brian Cashman is in some ways almost better than the offseason stuff. Like, he's done some of his best work now. So I think he's going to be aggressive. I think they're going for multiple spots. He told us so. And I'm with you on the contact rate at third base. Like, just give me somebody who can catch the ball and somebody who's got a professional a presence and that would really enhance this Yankee lineup. I would love to see that.
Like a Brocious type, just to throw back a name that Yankee fans love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need. Suarez is a star right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you don't want to turn away stars, but I think star chasing has gotten the Yankees in trouble and can get teams in trouble. They don't need that. Look at their freaking lineup right now. Their lineup right now is solid. Lefty-righty balance. They've got some speed. They've got a little bit of contact in there. They certainly have got some power. Like, I get it. Yeah, okay, the more the merrier. But I want a better ball player. I love the defense of Peraza at third. So if I could get a little bit of an uptick, somebody's going to put the bat on the ball. Like, Peraza's hitting under 200.
Oh, he's just very soft.
So give me somebody that can hit 250, be a professional, and play defense. That's Nolan Arenado.
Well, it is. And he's not making a ton of money. Matter of fact, he's right around the same neighborhood, I believe, as McMahon. So it's kind of... Actually, I think Arenado's, we did this yesterday, he's making $1 million less in the 2 years remaining on the deal. So I would be, I wanted it to happen in the offseason, so I'd be down for that now as well. Let me ask you this. So we're talking about the Dominguez, not even renaissance, just elevation, okay? We're talking about what Jazz has been doing, and obviously Judge, and the issues with the team too. I want to hear, and then I got some quotes from a scout that I want to read you. I want to hear your thoughts on the possibility of Volpe, not only the rest of this season, forget about his career, this season, not just stabilizing and stop playing sloppy, but actually playing well.
Yeah, I am with Cashman that I still believe in him. I just, my eyes are telling me that he still could be such a dangerous offensive player. The defense stuff has been bad, but I think you'll live with that. Like, he'll be all right defensively. You'll live with him defensively. He'll get better. He's not going to... Now, clutch moments, I mean, that's something we're going to find out in the postseason. But I wouldn't be worried about that, thinking, oh, he's going to be a problem defensively, even though he has been at certain times. So the offense is the issue. And if you bat him ninth, eighth or ninth in the lineup... Now you're not relying on him to be that guy, and maybe you give him some room to grow where you know he's got pop, you know he's had success before.
Mm-hmm.
I would not give up on Volpe. I would figure out maybe a different way to develop him.
How do you do that midseason?
Well, I mean,
that's almost impossible.
I know. They're just
that's an offseason.
They're letting him swim. As I said last week, he needs swimmies. Like they put him in the deep end of the pool. He's sinking. You gotta throw him some swimmies here. So it's a problem with Anthony Volpe, but I do think it's one that I would not give up on Anthony Volpe.
No.
Or the hope that he could be a high-impact player. I don't want to say star. High-impact player.
And so that's where you've kind of modified a little bit. It's no longer star. It's the high-impact, which I get. I mean, listen, it's been 2.5 years. You've got to modify. If people thought he's going to be a superstar, that's just not the right read right now. I'm with you. I think there's a lot left, and I think that there's a lot more that he's going to eventually show. The problem, though, like if they don't get a third baseman and they did what you think that they should do, and I don't mind him batting ninth at all, you can't have Peraza Volpe. How is your left side of the infield if Volpe doesn't appreciably improve that offensive combination?
Because you have everybody else in that lineup. Look at the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think they're going to go with Peraza every day. For now, yes, but I think they're going to get a third baseman. My concern is not getting the right third baseman. Like, Suarez would be great on paper. But they don't need that. They need a solid defender that's going to be a high-contact guy. That's what I think the Yankees need. Maybe run a little bit, but a high-contact guy, not be a strikeout machine, especially in the bottom of the order when you're going to have guys on in front of you to be able to drive in. One of my favorite things about Jazz last night was his ground-out RBI in the first inning.
That was nice.
I know he hit the two homers, but instead of him striking out and just moving on to the inning with only two runs scored, he tacked on that extra run with the ground out. Like, that's important. Those little things are important. The home runs, you know, they'll be there to a certain extent with him, but I'd rather, I want to see him put the ball in play more often, and that could lead to better things for the Yankees.
I'm going to read you the quote about Volpe from a scout, but I was thinking about this as well, real fast. So they definitely have things they need to fix. We've told you what they are. If I'm going to just take you around the diamond real quick. Goldschmidt, Jazz, Volpe, Peraza, that's Peraza.
Right.
We know who the catchers are. Obviously, now I'm going to put Dominguez aside for a moment, and I'm going to go just the combination with the trio, Judge, and obviously Grisham and Bellinger. This is going to sound ludicrous, and it's going to get met with immediate resistance, but I would love the social media challenge because I don't know if we want to really do it on the air. That's the best defensive Yankee team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back that far, but I know this. It's by far the best Yankee defensive team that we've seen in a very long time, if not ever. And it's a tremendous defensive team, which I like. Now, the question is, would you rather that or a little bit lesser defense?
Lesser defense in Dominguez every single day.
Bingo.
100%. So bat and lead off every day the rest of the year.
So that's the only real issue now. And by the way, in the postseason or in meaningful regular season games here down the stretch, it's a simple fix. Mm-hmm. You have Dominguez lead off. He gets his 3-4 at-bats. Your defensive replacement with Grisham. You get Grisham and Bellinger out there. You're locked and loaded.
I know.
There are no holes on that defense.
No.
That's what I want. Tightened up, pieces that fit everywhere. That should be the idea. Now, if you take Peraza out of the equation and you bring in a lesser defender, now you're losing a little bit there. You're losing a little bit in left field with Dominguez.
Shortstop's been unstable.
That's what I'm saying. Now all
of
a sudden,
it's a little different profile at that point.
Which maybe they're willing to sacrifice. I would not, because I think their offense, especially with Dominguez leading off, Judge too. You know what the X factor has been? Bellinger.
Do you realize? So he's right now. He's got a 14 game hit streak.
Yeah.
Do you realize he had a 15 game hit streak in May?
No, I didn't even realize that, honestly.
Yeah, I knew the other one. I didn't realize this one kind of crept up on me.
This one I was aware.
A 15 and a 14 game. The guy's a pro.
Yeah, he started out a little slow, but he's been the key behind Judge. Yeah, and then you throw in Dominguez as well. He's been the X factor. If Bellinger produces to this level, you know the defense, you know the speed. If he just hits solid, nobody's asking Juan Soto type offense.
No, you don't need it.
But just be Bellinger. Yeah. That's the difference maker in this lineup. So when you go Dominguez, Judge, Bellinger, the threat of Stanton, forget about that he just has two home runs or that he's always hurt, whatever. The threat of Giancarlo Stanton,
That's
a loaded, as loaded top four as you're going
to
see.
And not to mention Jazz is cooking.
Behind him, exactly. Wells behind him. You get Goldschmidt approving.
You know, Austin Wells on pace for 90 RBIs and 25 home runs. I wish the average was a bit higher, but you're not going to get outside of the catcher they saw last night.
Right.
You're not going to get a lot more power production for the catcher spot. Did you hear Kay? I didn't even think about this in real time, but it was interesting. Were you watching the Yanks last night? Yes. I guess a little bit.
Yeah.
So did you hear Kay talk about the play with Soto, Lindor, and Bellinger? The great play.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't even think about this. If that ball was indeed trapped, Juan Soto would have been out at first base.
He threw him out anyway.
He never touched the base. When you look at Goldschmidt catching the ball, it was right above his, right by his ear on his glove side as a righty. He catches the ball. And obviously Lindor is there, but Soto hadn't yet touched first base. He would have been out.
But did he realize that it was?
No, he didn't realize that. I'm just saying it would have been a quirky, funky,
right,
basically all-time baseball, although there have been players get thrown out from left field at first base somehow, somewhat recently too. But you don't see that every day.
I think the catch part of that play is being a little bit overrated. It was a great play, but he played shallow, which allowed him to go down and get it. I think the throw part is what
I disagree. I'd see it the opposite.
To fire a laser like that from left field to first
base.
But
it was shallowish left. And I'm not
still
trying to. I would have to think that thing flew there 90 plus miles an hour. No, no question.
That to me
92,
was
93.
I'm
just saying the sinking liner. To me, the sinking liner is off a lefty bat in left field. I mean, if you're asking me which one I'd rather take my chances with, I'd rather take a chance with a quick crow hop and have to throw it kind of far rather than the multiple elements of dealing with. I mean, that was my reaction, but I get why people would think it's the throw. Yeah. I got to read this. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the scout. Randy Miller had this. This was a couple of days ago. I just stumbled upon it recently. Unnamed scout, veteran American League scout. So, quote, "I'm seeing a little man trying to hit like Aaron Judge, and that's not his game," the scout said. "He used to be gap to gap, but now he thinks he's a power source. You get away with that at Yankee Stadium sometimes, but he's striking out a ton, and maybe he's going to hit you 20 homers. But is that what you're really looking for? Now he can run. He can really run. Why not be a gap to gap hitter like he was and maybe hit 12 to 15 instead of trying to be a mini Aaron Judge?" And then he goes on to say, he's not a shortstop. He's a second baseman. I think because nobody's going to disagree with the swinging like Judge. That makes no sense. This maybe is a little debatable. Volpe's a second baseman. Again, not a shortstop, the scout warned. I think Volpe is an average defender at best. I think the arm's below average, but he's got good timing, so it's just enough. And I kind of see what he means there. I think Volpe's a better fit at second. I'm not trying to be negative. I like Volpe as a player. I love him as an individual. I just think the Yankees need a better shortstop. Now, that seems ominous right now for Anthony Volpe and, the if train for all the people that didn't get on board over the years. If Lombard is the player and that they think, and I don't mean this year, you might have a very easy solution where you punt Volpe to second, you might have a shortstop. Now, what does that do for Jazz Chisholm? I don't know. You're not going to put him back at third if you even re-sign him. Can you envision a future For Volpe with the Yankees, not at shortstop.
Yeah, I guess.
Can you?
But at that point, it would be a lost. If you're going to move on from Volpe at short, just move on from Volpe. Maybe they decide to trade him.
Unless you think he could be a good second baseman, he's still very controllable and still very cheap.
Yeah, but then if he fails at short, you made him your shortstop.
Yep.
If he fails at short, I personally would probably just move on at that point.
You think like the script is written and the fans and the kind of the
plus,
first round
status. Plus, I
need to
see how it fits at that point. Like you said, I wouldn't want to move on from Jazz right
now. Yeah, I hear you.
Jazz is a better second baseman than Volpe. So why would
he's
I
one of the best in the league.
That's what I'm saying. So why would I want to move Volpe to second and move Jazz and mess around with that? And you're not going to play Volpe at third because he's not a third baseman.
He doesn't have the arm for third base.
If you're worried about his arm, then he's not going to play third base. So if
can you make him a left fielder?
If he can't.
Down the road?
Why not just move on then at that point?
I don't want to move on. And I want to see him do well.
But what's the appeal if Volpe can't play short?
He's an athlete.
First thing I would rather see is him start to hit the way that the scout says, not like Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Hit the ball to right field, become more of a gap-to-gap hitter, get on base, wreak havoc there. Be a high average, high contact guy as opposed to the power. You don't need power from Anthony Volpe.
But that doesn't start with actually when the bat hits the ball. That's the approach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that, and we've had this a million ways sideways, but I don't know how you really rectify that midseason. That's a big course correction to kind of change things now. And I know he's a worker. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he's, I'm not saying he's not going to get going. I do think he's a lot better than this. But to think that he's going to be a completely different player the final 85 games, I don't know how you do it midseason. I really don't.